recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Third hour on this Tuesday. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. I had to think about what today was. It doesn't feel like a Tuesday.
Is it?
Of course, when you get in at 2 in the morning, you're not sure what day or month it is. It's hard to believe it's already May 10th.
Yeah, it's going by, seemed to be going by fast, even though it's not.
Yep. On our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, to the conversation that's going to spill over into this hour. To win against elite teams, you need elite players. This youth movement clearly isn't packing any. So it's the same next year or worse if they let Philip Forsberg walk. So I was looking at, like, number one picks overall. And I wanted to, you know, give it a little time to, you know, you don't want to last year. Like, you don't really know what they're going to be, what Owen Power is going to be. But, like, for example, like Austin Matthews, yeah, would you say he's pretty good? Would you say he's elite? Yeah, he's elite. He was a number one pick by the Leafs. Connor McDavid, number one pick by the Oilers. Ekblad, number one pick by the Panthers. McKinnon, number one pick by the Avs. Now, this is where, you know, it's not a given. Edmonton had three straight years of the number one pick. Just think about that. 2012, 2011, 2010. Taylor Hall, okay. Is it fair to say, Willie, he really hasn't lived up to number one overall? He's been good. At times has been great, but number one overall, I would say not really.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you always hope that you get somebody closer to McDavid or Matthews.
Right, because we're talking about, if you're talking about elite, which is what the callers and the listeners are, these are the top of the top in the league, okay? Taylor Hall, Nugent Hopkins, again, not number one overall. Good player, not number one overall. And then Yakupov, which,
Yikes. Yikes, Yakupov.
Yelzer.
That didn't go so well.
So those are 3 years. Think about it. They had to suck for three years.
They stunk.
They were awful.
Well, let alone the times they picked second or third. I mean, they picked second or third a bunch of times in there, too. I think Draisaitl was third.
Well, I pulled up some of the twos. Okay, so what does it look like at number two? Victor Hedman, number two. Yeah, he's pretty good for the Lightning. Yeah. Drew Doughty, number two for L.A. Yeah, he's pretty good. Malkin, number two for Pittsburgh. Just think about Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh took Crosby at one, Fleury at one, Malkin at two. But how do you get that in that window?
They went bankrupt.
You have to absolutely stink, threat to move, bankrupt, all that stuff, right? And that's, but it paid off in the end. Now they've had 16 straight years of playoffs, and they have cups, and so it all works out. So that's taking advantage, or at least having it in the right year, where Edmonton has not been able to really take advantage of that. McDavid, yes, that was a hit. But number two overall, Tyler Seguin for Dallas. I think that's been good for number two. Landeskog, number two.
But he was picked by the Bruins.
Yeah, he was traded to the Stars. Landeskog was Avs, second pick overall. Barkov, second pick. Jack Eichel, second pick. Line A, second pick. Which, you know, Line A, But again, how do you get to those picks? So you ask the question to the fans. And think about it from the business side of things if you're the Predators. How do you – they are a business. This just in, they're a business. How do you go out there when these franchises go through this? Are you going to go? So that's the question I have for you. So you want them to stink. Okay, bottom out. Maybe they get the cream of the crop, and all of a sudden these elite players, you know, a couple – of elite players are here in Nashville for the next 14 years. Elite Ovechkin was a number one pick overall. You get a player like that or a Crosby. But are you going to go to the games when when the year's what it takes to get those picks? Are you going to go to games? Are you going to spend your money? Or are you just going to be like, hey, yeah, I'm going to wait and see? Well, if you wait and see, it's not going to be a very good business model for the Predators.
No.
It's kind of a business. They kind of need you to keep going, and you have to, you know, you have to answer the question, well, are you still going to go? You still going to support them in the lean, really, really lean years? Because for all the people who are blazing mad about this year, did you go to games? Did you see the crowds? Did you see the atmosphere? Did it look like there were 10,000 empties? I've been in that arena when there were 10,000 empties. I know what it looks like. The early days. Go to Tuesday night against Edmonton back in 2001. I know what 7, 8, 9,000 empties look like. No, the building's packed. It's a great atmosphere. Place is juiced. So that's my question. Are you willing to support through the lean years? Did you see the Titans when they're lean years? Did it look like there was support? No, there was not. 25,000 empties or overtaken all by the opposition, depending on who they were playing. It's not a great business model for the Titans either when they weren't winning. Now, hopefully, they're getting back to it's becoming a really, really tough ticket again. But their lean years, they didn't get to benefit from that. Their attendance was awful.
I think what the fans are more than likely saying here in this situation is that, okay, in order to get the, you know, McKinnons and the Malkins and players of that stature, you have to bottom out. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we understand it. We all know it.
Flatline.
You have to. That's just the and honestly, in just about every sport, you have to be bad enough to be picking, you know, to get one of those, you know, generational players. Now, every once in a while, they fall later in the draft, sure. Mm-hmm. But more than likely, you if you want to get that guy, say a quarterback, you got to be drafting high. But I think this is where the fans and Adam is now questioning, you know, management. And I want to hear management. It's because you're never going to be in that situation. But if you're never going to be in that situation, then you need to be very strategic and careful who you draft. Because who you draft, they need to develop into these marquee players. Eventually, because you're not getting a guy that you draft him first, second, third overall, he's a home run. You know it. You've seen it. Everybody's saying that person's a home run. He's going to be a home run. Okay, well, if I'm the Predators, I'm drafting at the bottom half. Well, I have to be very careful on who I draft, because if I do want a guy that's going to help change this franchise, then it's going to be a guy in a later the latter part of the first round. And I need to do my homework on that said guy. And then once I get him, we got to develop him. And this development can't take 4 or 5 years. It needs to happen in 2 to 3. If we want to stay in that competitive, on that competitive platform. Because if you keep drafting at the lower half of the first round and he's keep not working out, then you're going to find yourself slipping further and further down the pole to whereas you're going to get a Malkin. But
Derek, keep in mind, like in football, when you draft some guys, they're, what, 22?
Yeah.
21
years
old.
And I get it. These guys are younger. Yeah, you're right.
These guys that typically go like this, especially these elite kids that are identified like difference maker, guess what? They get drafted at 18.
Yeah.
So you're saying when you say 2 to 3 years – well, one, you need a couple of those big picks, and so you're then asking 18, 19, 20-year-olds, so just to come right out of the gates, and like, doesn't it take more than 2 or 3 years to really develop into the powerhouse franchise?
The fans are saying right now they don't want to wait that long.
I know, but how do you
that's the tough
send
thing.
18
that's
to 19-year-olds and say, go win the cup?
I get it. I understand what you're saying, but it's almost like, yes, we want to get younger, but in getting younger, we're going to take a step back. The fans want to hear, how do you make that, how do you t- tote that line of getting younger but staying a veteran team. And,
yeah, it,
you know, these younger guys, these veteran guys helping these younger guys with that learning curve a lot quicker. That's what the fans want to hear. Because they know they will never, they know they will never, well, I'm not going to say never. More than likely, they won't be picking the Preds in a top two or three. Let's say the top five in the NHL draft in the next, you know, 5 or 6 years. Unless, again, they bottom out.
Yeah. You got to get a little lucky. You've got to make a get a third round pick like Roman Josi that blossoms into a star, which does happen every now and then. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Everything you said is dead on, right? And what is quite honestly buoying this team right now is that great Milwaukee team that was not really full of the elite high ceiling talent, but Trennan, Janot, Connor Ingram, Alex Carrier, some older rookies that did take some time to develop. Those guys have really helped this team in the last year or two, and they've kept them a playoff team.
Something to keep in mind, Dan, in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, this is a really good point. Don't forget, though, the rules have changed. You can no longer just tank and like Arizona or Ottawa and get the guaranteed number one pick because there is,
right.
You know, you're not guaranteed it. It's not on how you finish it. You get, you know, it's the old ping pong balls and all that. So it's not like in baseball where they truly do it by how you finish in the standings and away you go. And football is the same way, right? Where in the NBA and mm-hmm. hockey now, it's like a lottery system. So you're not, yes, you're probably still going to get it, but you're certainly not guaranteed. So that is something to keep in mind, which is pretty interesting because in other sports, you are guaranteed. In football, you're guaranteed. You'll get the number one pick. If you have the worst record, you get the number one pick. Nick and Wayne, we will get to you on the other side, and we'll get your thoughts here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you'd like to help families of soldiers give the ultimate sacrifice, then you can join us. Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor. It's going to be May 16th. That's coming up. It's next Monday. That'll be at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together. Come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause. You can sign up and donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. I believe all of us are going to play. I think the suit is going to let us sneak out a little early and let us go play. Are we all up for that?
Hey,
Derek, are you going to do it again?
Hey, as long as it's fun, man.
Okay.
Well, as long as we can laugh.
All right. Well, that's the plan. Have you seen our games? Of course we're going to laugh. See my knee? Of course we're going to laugh. Let's go.
Man.
We've got some people who have been waiting patiently on the phone lines. Let's go to Wayne. Wayne, you're up next. Welcome in.
Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to make some comments in regard to ownership's relationship with David Poile. I think most people agree that in the past, ownership has kind of let Henry and Paul totally run the hockey operation. But I think this year, Paul has had his hands handcuffed by ownership. I believe that based on, first of all, a fact. The previous two physical years, the organization lost money. So that means ownership lost money. And I believe because of that, ownership has stepped in this year, which they haven't done in the past, and placed some restrictions on Paul, what he can and cannot do as far as spending money. First of all, I believe that ownership has placed a organization cap on Paul. And I say that because if you paid attention to the Predators surplus that they've carried all year, it's remained practically the same. I don't think it dipped below $9 million any time during the year. And I'd say the second half of the year, it remained consistently at a little over $10 million surplus. And that they had that at the trade deadline and did not spend any of it. And, of course, Poole said, come out and said, you know, he liked this team. They got along well and everything, and he was happy with the performance of the team and all that. But he could have spent that money. He could have went out and got a top six forward. He could have got a better defenseman than what he did by trade. And that didn't really affect the Predators' cap money at very little at all, just maybe a couple $100,000. Second, I think ownership has played a role in negotiations with Philip Forsberg. I think ownership has given Paul walking orders on the term and the money that he can offer Forsberg. I don't think they will allow him to, say, go to $10 million, maybe even $9 million. I think they probably would like to see it to remain to be under $9 million. And I don't think they're agreeable to the eight-year term. I think they're just agreeable to a 4 or 5 year. And I think that's the problem why there's no deal done with Philip Forsberg, because Paul, hands are tied by ownership. They have told him the amount of money up to a top amount of money that they can offer him, and the number of years are limited. Also, when it comes to Hines, his team extension, which hasn't been picked up and which has surprised everyone. I've heard it mentioned by you guys and other hosts on your station. It surprised everyone why the team, you know, hasn't announced before now that they're going to pick up his extension for next year. But it hasn't happened. And Paul's never had a problem with picking extensions up for his previous coaches.
Well, I'm not sure that's true. I do think his, if you go back to the beginning with Barry Trotz, I do think that there were times where he, because I remember these conversations with Barry, that they would be sweating a little bit.
Let him twist a little bit.
They sort of let him twist, and they would always pick up the extension. Obviously, Barry Trotz was the coach for 15 years. But I think he made a lot of really interesting observations there. He is dead on right with how he assessed the salary cap. Now, I don't know if it's cause and effect. You know, the pandemic definitely has crippled the entire league. I shouldn't say crippled. It's taken a bite out of every team's finances.
Well,
every
single one. Everybody lost.
Everybody lost money. Yeah, the league has made no secret of that. But what is the message been? It's been consistent. Since the bubble, since they were eliminated by the Coyotes, we got to get younger. We got to change the way we play. We got to be harder to play against. That's what they have done systematically. So when he did not spend to the cap, he's dead on right. They're the only team that made the playoffs that did not acquire a bunch of veterans at the deadline and spend to the cap. I mean, take a look down the road. They kept that cap space, but it goes to the message of we want these younger players to get a chance to develop and go through the battles. It's the only way they're going to get the experience is to get a chance to play. They wanted to keep the assets. You can't continuously, like they did during that window where they thought they could win, trade your first-round pick, trade prospects, all of that stuff that they were doing. They're trying to replenish the farm system and the assets. So that is sticking to the game plan once again. Now, as far as Forsberg, I don't think they're under any restrictions on what they could pay him. I have never known the ownership to do that. I know the only time I've ever heard that the ownership stepped in was I think Craig Leopold told him to go absolutely all in on Peter Forsberg, and this was 15 or 16 years ago now, whatever that was, 2007. I think that's the only time that I know of that the owner said, look, you got to go for this. I want you to go beyond what I think the owners have given David Poile.
Well, Craig also said to Shedd, which is why there were deals made to Philadelphia.
Oh, no question about that.
Because Craig Leopold said, shut
no
it.
No question about that.
Get rid of payroll.
And then finally, I do believe that John Hines will be back. I think that will be announced very, very soon. That's just my gut feeling. I have no vibe that that's going in a different direction. So I think that will take care of itself. And it may be at the end of the year press conference. I don't know that for a fact, but I think that's the direction they're moving there.
Well, I thought Wayne brought up some good points, though. I mean, honestly,
great points.
Those are some great questions to ask when David Boyle talks next. Like, somebody should – I mean, if Adam wants to know about ownership, then Adam needs to ask the question, is ownership handcuffing you? Is ownership told you you have restrictions? Has ownership told you, you know, you can only go to a certain point when it comes to Philip Forsberg or
Well, we know
free
under
agents.
Craig Leopold, they could not spend to the cap for a long time.
Of course.
But they are choosing not to spend to the cap now, I believe.
But we talked to
as
Craig
opposed to before.
And, you know, we're not talking with this ownership group, I guess, going back to the Adam Vinken, you know, article. I mean, they're not really. Craig Leopold would come on all the time. He was great about that. And sometimes it was on air, sometimes it was off air, as you know. And so we would get information. But I don't know if that's true or not. I think it's a heck of a statement to bring to the table. And I don't know if Wayne's right or he's not. And I don't think, you know, there's probably a piece of me that says he may not be off at all on that. But I don't know that. It's a really good question. And I suspect that David Poyle will get asked that when he talks here in the very, very near future. Nick, I know you also have been waiting patiently. We will get to you on the other side here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, Jordan, it's been a while. You should come on the show, man. We haven't talked to you in a bit. Back here on the DDC, don't forget we're going to give away Sting tickets before we get out of here to Ascend Amphitheater. That's coming up very, very soon. That'll be a great show. Let's go to Nick on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Have y'all ever seen the movie Miracle about the 1980 USA Olympic hockey team?
Sure.
Well, he says in the movie, he says, I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the right ones. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that leads me to my question. Do elite players matter more than team chemistry? Because Predators had a problem with depth scoring this season, and I've seen a lot of teams that didn't have a lot of elite players but had great chemistry in every line, which led ultimately to depth scoring.
Okay, so let me ask this question, Nick. What is your definition of chemistry?
Really, when it comes to hockey, knowing where that other player is going to be on the ice.
Okay, so you're not talking about, like, relationship, the room, all that stuff. You're talking about more on ice, your line, knowing where everybody is at all times, more on ice stuff?
Yeah, more on ice. I mean, I guess it's important for a team to, you know, have good chemistry in the locker room, but mostly on ice because that's what's going to get you the wins. And I think there was a lack of that in maybe, like, third. I mean, our herd line was great, but I saw a lack of that toward the end of the season, just not much depth scoring, and it just seemed like lack of chemistry to me. So
okay, hey, it's a really good point. Again, thanks for the call. Really good questions. Look, the chemistry, I know because when I was talking to players at the Patron Platinum Club after games, they would talk about the room and how tight the room was. So I know there was definitely chemistry off the ice or in the room. And Willie, you know the same thing. You're even closer than me. You see it firsthand. The chemistry was there. But Nick is asking about on the ice. Look, I think it's a little bit of a balance of both. Like, obviously, you need the players, but you also need to have the chemistry on the ice. And the bottom line is I learned something really interesting from Hal Gill last night. One, he was talking about his rookie year. He lost 25 pounds his rookie year. And Derek, you can weigh in on basically your travels, too, because you and Hal played at the highest levels of your sports for about the same amount of time. You spent a long time as professional athletes. And you can remember your early days. Hal reflected back to his early days. He lost 25 pounds. And he said, man, I was a twig, you know. And he said, you got to learn. And your sports are different. Yours is obviously much more violent. It's a shorter season, but it's much more physical and violent. And it's got to be a real eye-opener for someone coming out of college, right? These are grown men that are trying to rip your head off on every play. And hockey is obviously physical and violent as well on a different level. But you got to learn how to navigate through an 82-game season. And I thought it was really interesting Hal describing that, because it's not just physically, which is a big part of it. It's also mentally. And I think after listening to him last night, what I've suspected, there was a whole lot of these young guys that hit that wall, man. They hit the wall, and they had nothing left in the tank. And he said, you got to learn how to deal with that, you know, in your career. You got to learn how to power through once you get to games 70, you know, 64, 78. And then if you're in the playoffs, that whole new chapter that begins. And then everything gets ramped up even more. And that's not easy for a lot of guys to do. Like, you got to learn how to manage through a very, very long season. And it's my suspicion that some of these guys, especially some of these young guys, they just hit the wall. And that's the reason you see their numbers just basically go away. I mean, I know Tanner Janot showed up last night with a point, but I was also talking on yesterday's show. He went 18 games with just a point. So he had 2 points in his last 19 games for a guy that was pretty critical to a lot of their success for most of the season and just faded down the stretch. And I think I'd put him in that category. A young guy, the style that he plays, he just probably mentally, physically hit that wall.
See, this is what happens when you try to get young and still try to win at the same time. Young players, typically, they hit the young player wall or the rookie wall, whatever you want to call it. And that's why you guys have to have a good balance of veterans on your team that are able and capable of pulling them through. Now, chemistry without a marquee player will win you games during the season. It will, because, you know, it's a long season. And, you know, if you have chemistry and have good players, you know, it'll get you through the season. But if you want to win a championship or even be considered one of those teams that can win a championship, you have to have that chemistry, but you have to have those marquee players. 1, 2, 3, 4, just however many you think you need. You must have that marquee player. Because in today's sport, championship teams have those marquee players. Very seldom do you see a team without a guy that is considered, you know, one of the tops at his position. Are they going to win a championship? I mean, yeah. It very seldom does it happen. So when you say, well, we need more chemistry rather than marquee players, yeah, that will get you through the season, and that will get you in the bottom half of the playoffs. But once you step in the playoffs,
don't you need both, though?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You need both. Yeah, you can't just do it by, okay, we got chemistry without a marquee player. No, you got to have that. Going into the playoffs, you got to have that marquee player. That's why it was so difficult, even more difficult for the Predators, because they didn't have their goalie. Yep. You know, you put them in there, their chances are a little bit better. Not to say that they were going to beat Colorado. But it makes if people feel a lot better when the marquee guy, the guy that's considered top three or four in his position, is in the net.
No question. And let's address, you guys made some great points. Let me just one other aspect that the caller brought up, the scoring. Now, in perspective, the team came within a few goals of scoring as many goals as they've ever scored in an 82-game season. But let's go back to the marquee point. Where do they need to grow? They let in their top six. Remember, they saved the money. They didn't spend to the cap. They wanted to see, is Phil Tomasino ready to be a top six? Is Ellie Tolvanen ready to be a top six? Is Luke Cunnan ready to be a top six? At the end of the year, what did they find out? None of the three really jumped in there and became top six for. Late in the year, and then a collection of guys on the fourth line that were scrappy. They got pretty good mileage out of those guys. So where does that leave them going forward? I think what you got to hope for, A, we got to find out what happens with Forsberg. But then can you add another top six guy in there somewhere? Can Tomasino become a top six? I think absolutely.
I think
he can. Mm-hmm. Will it be next year? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. He's, what, 19?
Can Tolvanen, can 20? Cunnan bounce back from subpar seasons? There's still hope for that. They're still young enough to do it. But I'd love to have another guy, a veteran guy in there that fortifies the top six. That would be on the wish list.
Tomasino's 20. He'll be 21 this summer. So,
but
they're very young.
They let those guys get a chance. That's what they did with the competitive transition. They allowed the young guys. That's what a lot of – remember, that was a big narrative. Let's see what the young guys can do. Did we not hear that a lot, Darren, from the fans?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
A ton. A ton. So they got that opportunity. You cannot, if you're Tolvanen or Cunnan – or even Tomasino, say you didn't get a chance.
Well, look,
they wouldn't let me do it. They got a chance to play in the top six, and they really didn't take to it. None of them did.
Look, I was leading the charge for let's just time to see what the young guys, what they got.
Yeah.
And some of them worked out, and you see, and some I have question marks. I mean, I don't know if I don't know if Tolvanen's going to ever live up to the hype. I certainly haven't seen enough. I'm not ready to throw him out. He's still way too young, but, man, to me, he's got a long ways to go. He's just not there. Cunnan, to me, is a third to fourth line guy, period. He's just not a top six guy. Mm-hmm. And I know he's young, too, but you know what? He's been in the league for a while now. Like, there's enough body of work. He's got way more experience than Tolvanen. Like, you can judge. And to me, just my opinion, third, at best, fourth line guy. That's just it. He's a third or fourth line guy, and that's just what he is, in my opinion. And people, you can disagree or not, but that's just my assessment. I think Tomasino is going to be just fine. Like I said, he's 20 years old. He didn't light the world on fire, but he's certainly, he didn't look out of place, all season where you're going, jeez,
right.
What in the world is
but
he
you,
doing up
but
here?
But you had to take this year to assess.
I'm sure
after
Rob
they've
and Joe
gotten a chance. You're not speculating. Hey, I wonder if this guy could be. Now you've seen them have the opportunity to have that role. You see what it looks like.
He probably got done.
And
with
now you
show
can evaluate and say, "What do we need to go from
guys,
here?"
Guys, we
that's,
can say
again,
whatever we want about them.
The point
not listening.
Of a competitive transition,
snoring.
Where you keep that flexibility, cap space,
much
and youth, and now
guys.
You have a better idea of what you need to get back.
Let's
up
go
to
Adam.
A new level.
Up
right,
in Adam Portland. In Portland. We'll get to you
to
on
Adam,
the other side. Up? But, Willie, you've got a word
yeah,
about
man.
Lee
thanks
Kumpen.
For saying what's up again this time. I
all right, Lee
Kumpen,
6'5", 5'6", 7'1000. Hey, the summer is
the
right upon us.
Back on.
School will be out for most of you here in a while,
years,
so there might be some
thing,
summer projects you're looking for.
Willie, another great year.
Do some maintenance on your home
and then
if
Darren,
you've been neglecting it for a while,
really
or maybe even some home renovation,
so
home improvement projects.
It was so good,
Lee
man.
Company has got
you
that department. They're
Gil,
ready to
y'all
serve
y'all
you
good together.
Right now. 615-567-1000.
Here's my problem with this Preds team. 615-567-1000.
Or go to LeeKumpany.com.
Was that they
and
never
check
really
out all
got
the services that they
series.
Have. You can make an online appointment without even picking up the
it's
phone.
It's kind of like when
just
we were
let them know what the issue is if you need a little work
and,
done
and
on windows or doors
and
or back
out of nowhere,
fences,
the
things
get
like
get
that. General
ugly
maintenance.
Goal to tie
they've
that
got
game
that.
And then win the
also,
game. You're like, well,
home improvement. You're going to re-up on a bathroom, renovate a kitchen. They've got that too.
I know we aren't
615-567-1000
or
LeeKumpany.com. Lee Company, proud sponsor.
I thought at the very least they walked away battered. And have a tough series like Carolina last year, but we weren't like that. So that concerns me moving forward, with a gritty coach.
Okay. Thank you for the phone call.
Yeah. Well, you can't hit what you can't see.
Well, yeah, there's team speed. But I think it's going back to, again, it's pretty clear that, that style that they attempted to play for 82 games is just – there was a lot of empty tanks at the end because I don't really have much different to say from what Adam put out there. I was probably – did I expect him to win? No, I did not expect him to win the series. I said, if Colorado loses the series, their coach is getting fired immediately. In fact, he won't even do the final press conference. They'll announce that he's been fired. That'll be the press conference. So that's how I felt with no UC Soros. It was going to be, tough – already, but if he wasn't available at the time, we weren't sure. Well, we knew he'd been ruled out for the first two games and kind of suspected, like, this doesn't look good. But no, and nobody picked him to win. So, but I think to his point, I didn't expect it to be that lopsided. And, you know, Colorado was just the way better team. I mean, they just were. Like I said, that goal by Philip Forsberg 4 minutes into the third period was their first lead of the series last night. So,
do you believe, and we'll never know the answer, but let's go back to who is your best player outside of Roman Josi? It's Juuse Saros. If he's not the best, he's the most important.
He is.
Just like any goalie, any quarterback.
I don't think it's debatable. It's really would have
been. So when you say the series wasn't competitive, it wasn't. There's no question about it. The Avalanche were on a different level than the Predators the entire series. Would it have been different with Juuse Saros? I don't think the Predators would have won the series. They're not as good, especially the way Colorado played. But Juuse Saros, I think, could have made it a lot. It could have looked a lot more like last year's series, in my opinion. We'll
or
never
a lot
know.
More like game two, right? A lot more like that.
Yeah. Well, game two, let's be honest, the Predators were completely outplayed,
yes.
Dominated.
But I'm saying the scoreboard, right? Where they
– yeah.
A guy like – and I get it. It wasn't Juuse. It was Connor Ingram. But they would have maybe gotten more performances like that where maybe they lose in overtime as opposed to, you know,
right.
Giving up five or more goals every game but that one.
But also remember the difference between this year's team and last year's team. Okay, last year's team was a lot more veteran. It was one of the oldest teams in the playoffs last year. Okay, Pekka was a big part of that. But who else did you have? Calle Järnkrok. Erik Haula, who was a great catalyst on the surge that got them to the playoffs, and he was a thorn. He was a guy who had been through playoff battles. They missed him this year, maybe more so than any, you know, the underrated award. I would have loved to have seen Haula in that mix, but he's gone. So
he played well for the Bruins this year, by the way.
Yeah. Erik Haula, Calle Järnkrok, and then the guys we all know, Victor Arvidsson, Ryan Ellis. I mean, those guys were all there last year, and you replace them with very young players who, you know, were going through the playoffs really for the first time. Even, you know, Alex Carrier, just the second year. Getting in there. So, once again, the competitive transition. So, where do you go from here? Now you have an assessment of these guys. They've gone up against the elite, and you now have a better, clear picture of where you need to go with additions, and you have the flexibility to do it.
Let's go to William on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. William, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. If you watch the game, you can, since they made the Stanley Cup Finals, every year you can see it was a step-by-step slow decline. And whether a full rebuild will put butts in the seats, it's coming. The guy that looked most out of gas to me in this series was Roman Josi. He might be our only player to ever make the Hall of Fame. But you can see the guys getting older. I saw the vets. They pushed the pace on us and they just blew us out the water. Their whole game plan was just put a pace on us that we can't handle. And Forsberg, he's a great player. His only weakness is he's a mediocre skater. He's not slow, but he's not fast either. We were behind the play the whole game, even our top line guys. So either we're concerned about if we can survive a full rebuild or not, it's coming.
Thank you, William. Appreciate the call.
Okay. I'm trying to understand this this whole, you know, the team just looked worn out and ran, you know, out of gas. And I get it. I understand why people would say that. Everyone played the same amount of games, right?
Last time I checked, yes.
Yeah, everybody plays the same amount of games. Everybody had their ebb and flows.
It's not an unbalanced
exactly.
schedule.
Colorado didn't play 50 games, and the Predators played 80-something, you know, 82. Every team goes through an ebb and flow.
You're not graded on a curve.
Exactly. Every team goes through they have their valleys and they have their peaks. Some teams stay at their peak a lot longer, and some teams stay in the valley a lot longer. what I'm trying to, I'm just trying to wrap my head around what some of the callers are saying. Well, this team looked ran down and beat down. I understand how you can see that. If, let me see how I can phrase this quickly. You know why Colorado wasn't ran down? Because they played the same amount of games. You know why they weren't ran down? They didn't seem as if they were a rundown team. Because they didn't have to work as hard the second half of the season.
Bingo.
Especially down the stretch.
Exactly. They didn't.
Bingo.
Because we were talking about them coasting.
Absolutely. Down the stretch. They were able, they put themselves, and you look at every team.
They put themselves in cruise control.
Every top team, they were able to sort of put themselves in, or teams that, let's say the top three teams at every conference or division, whatever, they knew they were making the playoffs. So they were able to possibly back off just a little bit and didn't have to grind so hard. Well, you look at the teams in the bottom half, they had to grind so hard to even get themselves in a position to make the playoffs. Look at all those teams that had to grind to get in the playoffs. Where are they at now in relative to their series? That, you know, top half, the bottom half. Where are they in relative to their series? When we look at teams, just like you said about the Florida team, I forgot what team you were talking about, Darren, last week, the Florida team. You said they will win. They're going to come back and win. Or, yep. Somebody, or Pittsburgh. Yep. Look at Pittsburgh last night. They were going to come back and win. They're going to win their series. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, why do you think those teams are going to win their series? Because they were in control of their season. They didn't have to work so hard at the end like the Predators did. And that's the Predators' fault. Nobody to blame but the Predators. When the Predators had an opportunity, when the Predators, in years where the Predators knew they were making the playoffs, knew that their spot was solidified, they went into the playoffs and no one ever said this team looks worn down. Ever. You're only worn down when you have to fight and scratch and claw the second half of the season just to put yourself in a position to make a playoffs. That's why when you go into the playoffs, teams are picking the other teams to beat you because they knew what it took for you to get there. And they're betting that you don't have the physical fortitude or the mental fortitude to keep it up.
We'll come back, start the final hour. Gene in Spring Hill, we'll begin with you. You've been waiting patiently on our phone line. We'll continue the discussion into the final hour here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game.